bum ba da bum 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 ba da bum 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 ba da bum 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 ba da bum bum
dice rolls dragons trolls
adventurous
three wait
you just said three
three two one
are we rolling dice
no
three two one oh okay
well I'm counting it down on my d6
oh okay go ahead
three two one.
Welcome to
Dadventurous.
There we go. We're back again for another episode here to continue off kind of a cliffhanger that happened last time.
Mod blew up a ship. No. Mod's not here yet.
No.
I have no idea where Mod is. Sorry. Beryl blew up a ship.
Beryl did blow up a ship. Or at least the shipment in front of the ship. The one that was going to be heading over towards Scarlet Hill from Briarport, courtesy of a bloodhound leader by the name of Skrik the Goblin. Right?
Yeah.
And why did she blow up that shipment?
Distractions and fun.
Distractions and fun. She was laughing chaotically.
She had several smoke bombs.
She did. Okay, well, with that, we'll continue on with a recap. I don't think there's much we have to say other than, hey, thanks for listening. Last week on Dadventurous, Kia managed to wake up from Briarport after Beryl had rescued her from a Surge Scarab attack and trap in Retail Ruins. Someone or something set a trap, it seemed. The lamp was so easy to get to, so easy to grab. But no, Surge Scarabs seemed to be attracted to it.
Lamps. Wait, bugs are attracted to lights.
They are indeed. And that seemed to be an issue for you.
Me.
And Flibbit.
Yeah, and Flibbit. Flibbit also got bit. You guys
Flibbit
got picked up.
Flibbit had nightmares about ice cream.
Yes, he did. you guys got picked up by Beryl, Grom, half-orc, alchemist slash pirate, and old rummager crew with Maud. She took you to Briarport. Things in Briarport were not that simple because there's a large bloodhound presence in Briarport.
Dun, dun, dun.
You went exploring, you snuck on a ship, you stole a list of names of people the bloodhounds are trying to find and steal their past world items. The implication being that
the bloodhiff is trying to hoard stuff.
He is trying to hoard stuff. Don't know why.
That's my voice for him.
Right? And,
for now.
And you even learned that there was a little bit of nefariousness in that because one of the local shops, Greta's Gear, had been burnt down and a new bloodhound shop opened up instead.
It wasn't just good. It was goods enough.
That's right. With Carl Man in the front counter. Anyway,
I still don't trust Carl.
You and Beryl decided to try to figure out what happened to Maud. You needed to find Greta because Greta might know something. She was the local rummager. So, you guys managed to make your way over towards this underground facility underneath the town fountain where Beryl told you Greta usually hangs out because she takes care of the running water and other facilities for town. But, unfortunately, you guys had been followed. You had been persons of interest, and the bloodhounds were out looking for you.
And unfortunately, I happened to tie up one of their members with a never-ending piece of yarn.
You did indeed. And
that
so,
he can't get out of.
Yeah, and so you guys were witness to Skrik and a guy tied up in yarn looking for you in town. So Beryl decided that you should be the one to go get down to Greta, tell her what's going on, and Beryl would make a distraction. Which I think she did wonderfully.
Yes. Smoke bombs, fake pistol shots, and an explosion of crates.
And a little behind the DM screen, I did roll for her
Oh.
last time, and I had three rolls that I just did to see how well she was distracting, and she rolled above a 15 every time.
Oh.
And when the explosion happened, she got a 19.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, all right, she did real good. About as good as you could do. And you got down into the steamy sort of water.
Water.
Not treatment, but like boiler room, like pipe room.
Yeah.
We'll just call it the water facility. And you went down, found Greta fighting with a steam rummager that blasted steam blasts out of its chest.
A steam rummager?
Yeah, it was called a steam scream. It had a steam scream.
Why is it a rummager, though?
Oh, you know what I meant. Scraper. And you helped her fight it and get her back on board. You told her about...
She had a giant wrench.
She did. She fought with a wrench that she spun around expertly. You guys... You basically informed her what was going on up top with Beryl and the distraction, and right when you guys were coming back out of the fountain, you hadn't quite, or no, you did make it out of the fountain, you heard a very loud kaboom.
And looked to see flames in the distance.
You did. You looked, and you were able to see that the shipment that was being loaded to the ship, that was being loaded onto the Bloodhound ship, was exploded and in flames. And that's where we are now. You're climbed out of the fountain. No one's in the park anymore because, oh boy, there were some distractions. And I'm going to say the sun, it's like evening time. The sun is still in the sky, but it's starting to set. And you look down the street. You see this big billowing smoke. I think you also probably see like a couple other crazy things. Like the front face of the Goods Enough store has like splattered green liquid that's steaming on it, and there's the fire, and there's probably just all sorts of stuff. Beryl went to work.
I turned to Greta after saying last time, that sounds like Beryl, saying, did you know she had so many smoke bombs?
Yeah. Now, Beryl's an interesting sort, and yeah, she's got a lot of tricks up her sleeve, we'll say.
I've seen.
All right, we should get out of here.
That's probably a good idea.
Right at about that time, you hear a voice behind you come up. And I jump. You jump as you turn around, and you hear somebody go, well, that was entertaining. And Beryl's standing there, covered in sweat and smoke. And probably a little bit of, like, bruised up, clothes torn, kind of.
I say, for one, spectacular explosion.
Thank you. Thank you.
For two, what did you put on the Goods Enough store?
A little special concoction of mine.
Actually, I won't ask. Okay. We should probably either get out of town.
Said either. What's option two?
Or go see where everybody went.
I know where everybody went. They are watching the massive explosion that I just caused, and I snuck away in the chaos. We should definitely get out of town, but we should go to my lab first and pick up our stuff.
Okay.
And you guys start making your way back towards the lab. I'm going to say Flibbit flies up next to you, down close to your ear, and he goes,
now, Kia, that was that was quite exciting, I will admit, but what is the plan exactly? Because I feel like we're in trouble.
I have no idea what the plan is, but we definitely are in trouble, and I think part of the plan is to get out of town.
That seems like a wonderful idea.
That's about as far as I've gone, though.
All right, I'll take it.
And he floats next to you. And you guys start making your way back up to the lab. So we're just going to jump into the lab, okay?
Okay.
The sun is really starting to go down now. It's that orange sky, purple clouds. Not wild magic clouds, of course, but just beautiful sunset over the...
The pink,
over the horizon.
The normal pink-purple clouds.
Yeah. And the sun isn't setting over the water, it's setting over the plains, because Briarport is to the east. So you guys start making up to the lab, and Beryl starts pointing at things and going, I need that, I need that, don't need that, leave that. And she just starts directing you guys into starting to get everything set up. She has a little cart out back that you start filling things up in.
Of course she has of course she's directing a cat person and a dwarf to pick up several potions in this crazy lab and load them onto a cart.
Yeah, no explanation. No, I think periodically you probably pick up a crate of something. She goes, whoa, 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 be careful. That one's dangerous.
What's in it?
We don't have time. She runs off and does something else. Make a dexterity saving throw.
I would.
Yeah, do it. I dare you.
Okay. 16?
You panic a little bit. They jingle together. They make that glass jingling noise.
They jingle? And
you know, like when glasses clink together. Clink together might have been the word. But you were able to carefully load it onto the cart.
Well, I'm going to have to ask Beryl later what is in the mysterious crate of jingly.
You will probably
glass.
Have an opportunity.
Yay!
And so you guys load up all these things into the cart, and you start making your way down the same path that you took from where her airship was.
What is pulling the cart?
It's just like Beryl's a big half-orc. She straight up picks up this little, it's like a little, like a person cart.
Oh.
It has two handles on the front and just two wheels. It's like a wheelbarrow that you pull behind you.
Oh.
And she loaded up a lot of gear. And it's mostly, there's some potions for sure. Like you loaded some crates of potions, but a lot of what you see is like the alchemy creation tools.
Oh.
Instead of
like instead
of the product,
potions.
She has things, and she kind of told you before that she is able to use this lab to create potions, and you start noticing that a lot of what she's pulled out are some pretty cool looking past world tech items, things that help her create these potions. So this magical effects of these potions that she's able to create are because of this equipment.
I think I'm gonna go Curiosity Killed the Cat, and I'm gonna start fiddling with some of these things.
Yeah. You start fiddling with stuff. As she pulls it along, she goes, hey, hey, be careful. That stuff's really, really important. But you can play with it. Just be careful.
Oh, okay. Are there any things with buttons?
Yeah. There's a little, one of those, like, mixers, you know, that spins vials around.
I think, not knowing what it does, I think she, as Beryl says this, she goes, think.
Presses the button.
Yeah.
And it starts spinning. And I think you'll see that inside there are a couple that were empty glass vials. And one of them that's spinning around starts glowing and filling up with a liquid that wasn't there. And it just fills up. And then the thing comes to a stop. And it stops.
I say, Beryl, one of your bottles just filled up that it didn't have liquid in it. Is that supposed to happen?
Yep, that's one of my catalysts. And she says, use that and you pour it into some other stuff and it helps create these effects, like that potion that you have from Maud.
Oh, okay. I think I gently, like, put it down and kind of... I think I put it down and leave it, like, I don't want to mess with her stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you guys start running and running and running. Not too terribly far, but where her airship was hidden in the trees. Okay, you guys get there, and Beryl and Greta and you kind of all circle up.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear chaos still in the town. You hear shouting. You hear probably like an alarm bell dinging, and you can probably see some of the bloodhounds, you know, very distant, just little specks, but are rushing around and trying to put the flames out on the dock.
I look back and say, yep, that was a pretty good distraction.
Yeah. Beryl leans down to you and Greta, because Greta's a dwarf and you're like 4 foot tall and she's like 7. Beryl leans down to you guys and she goes, now, what did we learn about Maud?
Wait, I had a map from Maud, right? I still can't remember.
You had a map.
I had a map.
Yeah, but the map...
It said trap reevaluate, right? Around retail ruins.
Yeah, yeah. She had a map. You found a map that showed her pathway to retail ruins, skipping it, and then moving to Briarport, having somehow noticed this trap. Something about it caught her eye, caught her perception in some way.
Okay.
And so she never picked up the lamp.
Yeah.
And she made it to Briarport and then left in a hurry.
To somewhere.
And Greta was kind of talking to you about that down below.
Yeah. Okay. I say, so apparently Maud saw a trap at Retail Ruins.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that too, didn't we?
Well, yeah. And said, so she picked up something that I didn't and came to Briarport, talked to Greta about it.
Greta's like, yep. And that happened.
And went somewhere. She never went to Retail Ruins, apparently.
Yeah, Greta pipes up and she says, yeah. She was coming to me talking about surged items and, she was trying to figure out what was going on. And right when she came in, I can't remember exactly, but she said something about retail ruins and a trap. And I was in the middle of having my shop burned down, so I didn't have, admittedly, a ton of focus. But...
Wait, she came in when your shop was burning down?
She came in... No. It had just happened a couple days before.
Oh, okay.
Greta shakes her head a little bit. She's like, I just been a little out of it. That's all.
Okay, so we have a problem because we don't know where Maud went, but we know that she was on the Bloodhound list of possible horde thingies.
Mm-hmm. And Beryl goes, yep, I was too, and
so was Theodora.
Theodora and Greta here too.
Yeah.
And Greta's like, what list?
I pull out the list and show her.
And she looks at it and she's like, her eyes get all wide and excited a little bit. And she's like, that means they did. Well, I guess we can't prove it, but that means they targeted me for some reason. I wondered, it seemed like when the fire burned down and I was able to go back inside, none of my past world gear was in there. You'd think it would have burned up with everything else.
Yeah. Wait, so you're saying, but that's crazy. They wouldn't come in during a building burning down.
I mean, maybe they did it afterwards. I don't know. I was home.
Oh.
I don't live at the shop.
So, okay. So, after the shop burned down, how late did you return to it?
The next morning.
The next morning.
I got word from the people in town that my shop was burning when I rushed over and saw. It was too late to do anything about it.
It was still burning when you went over?
Well, I mean, it was... It was finishing.
Smoldering.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's weird because I personally feel like that would be strange for someone to come in and go in. I mean, you might get your clothes singed or something or a beam fall on your head, but like...
Well, but... And Beryl speaks up and she goes, well, unless they broke in... took stuff, and started the fire to cover their tracks.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, so...
So you think they're finding these people on the list, and they're taking their stuff.
And then burning down the evidence.
Taking away the competition.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then they're reselling the stuff at the shops, so that they maybe earn money.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense. That sounds like the Bloodhounds.
Okay. So that means that, well, at least the green goo stuff you put on there will probably put them out of business for the night, but...
Oh, yeah. It'll take them a couple days to get that off there. Might eat through the outer layer of the building, too.
Is it acid? What is it?
We'll call it acid adjacent.
Greta pipes up and she goes, yeah. Maud came in. She was talking to me about... items too, and she wanted to know about some old powerful item I had. I had this hat, sold it to a collector in Athon.
So maybe we should go to Athon. Maybe that's where she went. Maybe because she was asking you about your powerful hat.
Mm-hmm.
that you sold. And so when you told her that it went to Athon, maybe she went to Athon to find it instead of the one at Retail Ruins, because that one was a trap.
Like I told you too, and she points to you, Kia, and she goes, like I told Kia, Maud was nervous. She kept looking over her shoulder. Something was going on, but I admit I was just a little preoccupied.
Okay. Okay. I say we should go to Athon and search there and find out, ask that collector and find out whether we, if Maud went there.
Okay. Greta looks at you guys and she's like, I think you should, but I'm not going anywhere.
Okay.
I'm staying here. And she points at the list again and she goes, if they did this to my shop and I could find a way to prove it, I'm going to get them kicked out of Briarport.
But what about the bloodhounds? They're still there.
I am not afraid of no bloodhounds. Skrik is, he's all bark, no bite.
You know Skrik?
I mean, he works in town.
Ah, wait.
He.
Oh, yeah.
He brings the ships in and comes every couple weeks and has new shipment to take. And they do all sorts of shipping out of Briarport up to Scarlet Hill.
Okay.
I wouldn't say I know him. I just know of him.
He's not very nice.
Yeah, I gathered that.
Okay. So you'll stay there. Okay. Me, Beryl?
Yes, Kia?
You coming to Athon too now that...
At the very least, we need to get out of here.
Okay.
So let's get in the sky and we'll figure it out from there.
Okay. I wave goodbye to Greta.
Before you do anything...
Uh-oh.
You guys are sitting here talking about that. And you're loading up the balloon in the woods, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm scared.
There's a thick, heavy tree line that you guys kind of had to come through here.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can kind of see the town a little bit, but the trail kind of circles around through these trees. And you start hearing footsteps running. Lots of them coming.
Lots of them?
Lots of footsteps coming your way.
I whisper to Beryl, Beryl, you hear that?
She goes, yep, it's time to go.
Do we have time to go?
We're going to try. And all of a sudden you hear this little annoying goblin voice go, Beryl Grom, I know you're in there.
I think I get on the ship and yell, Skrik, Captain Skrik, I am not very interested in anemones. I was looking at the anemones when I was spying on him.
Oh my goodness.
I like making obscure quotes.
I was like, what are you talking about?
He goes, I knew you were looking at anemones. I knew you were up to no good.
And he's just running, and you can start seeing torches, and you can start seeing people run up that way towards the ship.
Wait, did they have pitchforks?
You blew up my shipment!
And he starts yelling.
What? Of course I didn't do it.
Beryl goes, explosion by association. Let's go.
Okay.
And she starts untying the ropes, and she leans down to Greta, who's still on the ground, and she hands her something, and she goes, Greta, go to the tool shed outside the lab, stick this in the slot in the wall, and then run. And Greta goes, understood. Best of luck, you two. I hope you figure out how to take these bad dudes down.
Best of luck to you, too. I look to Beryl and say, please tell me that's not another explosion.
No, it definitely is. Yeah, no, it super is.
How did you design a way for your own shed to blow up?
Oh, it's not for the shed. And she undoes the last line, and you guys start lifting off into the sky once more. Flibbit's like, I don't like this.
Neither do I, Flibbit.
And you finally see over the edge, you look down, and you see them break through the trees, and there's like 20 bloodhounds, Skrik at the lead. And he looks up at the sky and he goes, they're getting away! Fire! And they start shooting bow and arrow, crossbow bolts, all sorts of things up at you guys.
Yee.
I need you to make a dexterity saving throw for realsies this time.
Ooh.
Yep, that's not good.
What'd you get?
10.
10? 10's not bad, but what happens is it's not an attack on you.
Oh.
It's an attack on the ship. And right out of the gate, you guys go, and a bunch of the bolts miss. They fly up. They go into the blimp, but, you know, they're small enough holes that it doesn't seem to affect anything. And then one of the bolts, fired by Skrik himself, goes and hits one of the lines holding the basket that you guys are in. And it severs that line, and the whole basket tips downward. And you and Beryl and Flibbit are all knocked sideways. And you're dangling a little bit from this balloon. Beryl goes, oh boy, we gotta fix that quick.
Yeah.
She's like, there's rope in the side hatch, go get it.
I go get it anyway, but I think to myself, like, how am I the only one who's ever doing repairs on this thing?
Well, that is because Beryl's gotta drive the dang thing.
And Flibbit doesn't.
Flibbit has tentacle hands.
Yeah, true.
So, plus it'd be a boring podcast if you didn't do something. So,
yeah.
The way this works is there are going to be three rounds of nonsense happening. They're going to be firing stuff up at you, and you guys are going to be essentially making a dexterity save for the ship.
Okay.
If the ship succeeds, you won't have to do anything. You could maybe change something yourself. You have spells. You have powers. You can figure that stuff out for how you want to get out of here. But they are launching towards you guys, and these things start coming up your direction. I think one of the guys is probably like a big ogre-looking dude. He's basically like hucking rocks at you guys. Big, big things. And so, can you please roll initiative for me for the ship?
Do I still add my initiative?
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, don't mind if I do. 18.
18, good. So, you're going to go first, but what this basically means is that we're going to start at the top of the round with another dexterity saving throw. And then you're going to be able to try to fix the ship.
Okay.
So go ahead and do me that dex save throw. And I'm rolling against you.
Actually, no, that's pretty good. 17.
17, okay. So, 17, you watch as like one of those big boulders flies right through, and it had the basket been where it normally was supposed to be, it would have hit you guys, but it flies right over the top of your head, through the ropes, and out the other side. And it is your turn. You are able to reach in, pull out that rope, and it's, you know, 25 feet of rope. And basically, Beryl guides you, and she says, if you tie a loop at that top part and use this winch down here, we can winch ourselves back up.
Okay. Just so you know, I have no experience on ships before today. Well, before yesterday.
Yeah, I know. You're doing great.
Okay.
And
I think I...
So you can go ahead and make a sleight of hand roll, just a check, and we'll see how you do in her directions of tying things up and making loops and what.
I'm rolling very good. Guess what I got?
Nat 20.
Very close. A 16 with a plus 3 is 19.
Nice. So, quickly you're able to tie a bowline knot in the top, slip the line through that you just got, and run it down to this winch that's down in the basket. And you start operating the winch. Flibbit is going to help you, so he's going to give you your advantage for the episode. Could you please roll a athletics check?
Thank you for the advantage. Help, Flibbit. I did that. Ooh, I still did terribly.
What'd you get?
8.
An 8?
I rolled a 7 and my athletics is only
all right,
plus.
So unfortunately you got it hooked up to the winch, but you are not strong enough. It is too heavy of a basket to have you winch it up. Okay?
Okay.
All of a sudden, I'm going to roll for these guys. They're firing up at you.
Yep.
Another bolt comes through and sticks into the side of the basket right next to you.
Yeah.
And it pierces one of the ballast bags that drops.
No.
And now you guys are floating a little awkwardly. And Beryl goes, we need to fix that right away. And we're going to go to the top of the round again. With this, can you make your dexterity saving throw another time?
23.
23, nice. Beryl, you guys dodge a few more things. You're starting to get farther away. The shots, not all the crossbow bolts are getting to you. mm-hmm. that ogre with the rock and Skrik's super crossbow is firing really far, still coming towards you guys.
The ogre with the rock.
Yeah. We'll call him Greg. They're launching stuff at you, and Beryl dodges a rock, and then she looks at you for your turn, and she goes, "You, come here, drive. I'll get it." Because she's way bigger than you.
Yeah. Okay. I rush over and... Is it a wheel?
Yeah, it's a wheel.
Okay.
And basically, it steers like a rudder, and the aerosol cans of flame that I think I talked about.
Yeah, those are like levers on the side. Yeah.
She's like, just pull this lever and go that way. And she points a direction for you.
Okay.
And so you grab the wheel. It's kind of hard to hold on to. It's rumbling. It's shaking. And it's causing you to use a decent amount of strength to kind of like hold on and point that direction. I will let you choose either a athletics check or a survival check.
Survival. My survival is better.
Okay.
By one. 11.
11. It was a low DC because she kind of got it all set up for you. So you were able to keep it straight on track. Beryl's going to go. Rolls a 19. She starts winching up the basket. You guys start leveling out. As you level out, you realize that ballast bag that got severed is causing you to turn. You need to start turning back the other direction, but one last barrage of dexterity saving throw things come your way.
Oh, yes, even better. I'm getting progressively better. I got 24.
24, nice. You are able to, you look back and you see one of those rocks coming your way and you decide that you're going to turn. And so you go ahead and let go of the wheel and it spins because of the lack of ballast on one side. And the whole blimp starts turning and the rock just goes right past you. And we don't need to roll for anything else because you succeeded. Beryl rushes over. She fixes the ballast bag so that they're all even. And it causes you guys to kind of be lower, right above the tree line, which is fine anyway, to mm-hmm. stay out of the sight of sky beasts that don't like you. But you're probably like scraping the top of a couple trees. Beryl takes back over the wheel and she goes, "Hey, good job."
Thanks.
Also, and she looks back at town, thinks about it for a second. And she goes, "You might want to cover your ears."
What? Wait, I'm a cat.
Yeah, you can still cover your ears. You have hands.
I think I put my ears back in my head and cover
Flibbit
my ears.
Flibbit sticks two of his tentacles in his weird little ear holes. I don't even know if he has ear holes.
I don't think he does.
All right, he can hear, though.
Yeah.
But mentally. I don't know. Whatever. He does it to copy you.
I watch the town.
Yeah, and as you look back towards the town, this massive sky reverberating explosion lights off in the horizon. And it was not a tool shed. It was the lab.
Oh.
The entirety of her lab. Beryl rigged to blow. And she goes, "Well, hope Greta got out of there."
I pull my hands off of my ears.
And you felt it like hit your chest.
I was like, and I think I say, "Why did you randomly plan for that?"
Like I said, when you first came into town, me and Skrik and the Bloodhounds there, we had an uneasy alliance where they didn't mess with me and I didn't mess with them. This kind of got rid of any pretense, so I figured it was high time for me to get out of town. Besides, those potions of mine are proprietary. Nobody else gets to make stuff that Beryl makes.
True.
And you guys take off for the sky.
Oh.
Nice. So, if you remember correctly, it's a couple day journey back to Map's Edge from here.
Mm-hmm.
And even on the airship, it took you 3 days to get over there. It's still going to take you overnight.
Yeah.
You know, one night to get back to there.
Because the airship is faster.
And so Beryl kind of gets the ship set up on a relative autopilot, if you will. She's got some lines rigged up. You guys are going a direction. And she comes over to join you at the rail. And she goes, "Well, that was exciting."
Yeah.
But
I don't know if it helped too much. We still don't know Maud's missing, but I mean, maybe she wasn't captured at least. Maybe she's just on the run for some reason.
Yeah, which I suppose is slightly more comforting.
Yeah, slightly. Beryl pulls out her little device that she showed you before. And the little screen device with the text on it.
Otherwise known as a phone.
Yeah, she flips it open.
It's a flip phone.
It's a flip phone. And she loads up the message again that Maud had sent her. And again, just as a reminder, it said, contract to retail ruins, period. Looking for artifact, period. Dot, 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 trap observed, period. And then just a bunch of symbols, letters, and nothing that makes sense. And it's almost like she pressed a bunch of buttons and then sent it off.
I look at the little symbols and numbers and letters. Is there any repeating things like could be coded, or is it just random?
Make an investigation check for me.
Wow, I'm getting. I'm getting about half and half bad, and you know, this is a 10.
A 10.
Mm-hmm. With my plus it just investigation.
Looks, I mean, you've never even seen a device like this before. It doesn't look like anything to you. It just looks like a couple letters and numbers and symbols that, yeah, they don't mean much to you with that 10.
I pull out the map.
Okay.
Does the map have latitude, longitude numbers on it?
Does it have latitude? You mean like a grid system?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no.
Ah.
But it was a good idea. It just doesn't have that.
Okay, put it away again.
Yeah. I think, make an insight check.
Insight on who?
On the message.
Slightly better, 11.
11. Beryl rolled a 19. Ooh. She knows Maud really well. She goes, yeah, I don't know. I think that last part, it's not a code. I would think I would... know any sort of code. I think it's just, it almost looks like they're small buttons. I don't know. Maybe she just smashed a bunch, or maybe something happened to her as she was sending that message.
Oh. Ooh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So.
Because you said that she sent you a message and it was all garbled or something too, right?
Yeah.
What'd she say?
She said.
I can remind you if you need.
She said. It was on this, and I pull out the Rocky Talkie, as it's come to be called.
Yeah.
And I say, she said that to not come back, that there is a trap and bloodhounds, but it was all staticky, and so I didn't really get to hear much of it. It was just, she said, trap, bloodhounds, don't come back.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically the legible.
So she knew about the trap.
Yeah.
And she thought maybe that, I wonder why she thought you were also not needing to come back. Maybe she thought you were going into a trap?
I don't know. I came back to Map's Edge anyway because, like, I wanted to check on my grandpa and everybody else, but, like, she said, don't come back, but there was nothing there. Like, there is a wild magic storm that came in, and we all had to go to the scrape, but...
There's a wild magic storm that came into the town?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's unfortunate.
Nothing changed, though. Not a lot, really. Like, there is some unfortunate happenings with coloring, but...
Okay. Well, that's pretty good. Well, and then right at about that time, as you're sitting there holding the Rocky Talkie, it goes...
Kia?
Who is it?
It's Gunther.
Oh, it's Gunther. I say, Gunther?
Oh, Kia.
I thought you didn't have one of these.
Well, that's Theodora's.
Oh.
I'm holding it right here. I've never used something like this before.
Neither have I before a couple days ago. What's up?
How is it going?
Good.
I'm just checking in on my granddaughter.
It's going good.
Beryl smiles and she kind of walks off to let you talk to Grandpa.
I say, I'm on an airship coming back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with Beryl. Have you met her?
No, but...
Orc lady?
But Theodora told me all about her and that she was going to help you get to to where Maud was.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the thing about that, I went to Retail Ruins. I went to Retail Ruins. I saw the artifact and didn't get it. And then Beryl came in and rescued me and took me to Briarport, where we found some clues about where Maud might have gone.
Oh, so Maud might not be in trouble?
Well, that's questionable, but she might not have been. She's not at Retail Ruins.
Oh, good. I just wanted to check on you and make sure. So are you coming back to Map's Edge?
I think so, yeah. I think we're going to stop in at Map's Edge and then go to Athon, where we think we might have, that might be where she'd gone. Also, tell Theodora. Is Theodora there?
Oh, she's, that's why I called you, actually. We're working on a, experiment, and Theodora thinks that she might be able to move the storms.
By?
With this technology, we've got the projector and some of her searched items that she already had. And we're going to try tomorrow to find a storm and see if we can adjust its course.
Okay. Try to not hurt yourself. Also, Theodore might be in danger.
What do you mean?
I found this list from the Bloodhounds, and Theodore is on it. And there are a lot of crossed out names on that list. And I think it's for people with big hordes of password tech. And I saw what happened to somebody's shop with all these password stuff. And it was not good. So,
well, I will let her know. You be safe out there. And if you're coming back to Map's Edge, well, I guess we'll see you very soon.
Yeah, you be safe too. How's Frogrick doing? I just wanted to ask
Frogrick,
that.
sorry.
Well, Frogrick and Cabot Cranberry actually left a few days ago, and they were headed to the north. I don't know, they were gonna go on an adventure together, and seemed like Cabot was quite happy having a friend.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Oh, wait, Theodore's coming. And, oh.
What?
Yep. No. No, she didn't get it.
What?
He's talking to Theodore.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'll ask her. Now, Kia.
What?
I wanted to say that Theodora was wondering if you could get the lamp on your way here.
Beryl. I never did tell him what the trap was.
No, you didn't. Beryl looks back at you, kind of like gives you a shrug of like, maybe.
I can try.
Okay. Well,
the trap was not pleasant.
Well, be careful. And if it's too much, just don't do it and we'll figure it out.
Okay.
Well, okay. I love you, Kia.
Love you too, Gunther.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
And it clicks out.
Bye-bye. Wow.
Bye-bye. So Beryl walks back over to you, and she goes,
well, so you want to try to go get the lamp?
We could.
I mean, you already triggered the trap. You know what it is. We know what to expect.
So I have an advantage.
Yeah.
Questionable.
If it's still there.
I would think it's still there. They're not exactly robots, those, they're not exactly scrapers, those.
Yeah, those scarabs?
Yeah.
Man, they've been coming out the last couple of years, haven't they?
Last couple years?
Yeah.
They haven't always been there?
No. Third scarabs?
They haven't always been there?
No, they haven't. You know, probably, I don't know, last 10 years maybe? But before then, I don't remember ever seeing any Surge Scarabs. Just scrapers.
So they're a recent thing?
Seems like it.
How long ago were they?
I was going to say, you actually kind of know this too a little bit. because you talked to Cabot, and Cabot originally talked about how he was the one that came up with the name for this, them, the Surge Scarabs, because they're relatively new.
Yeah.
So.
Wait, so how long ago were the Bloodhounds bloodhounded?
Bloodhounds bloodhounded. What do you mean? Like how long they've been around?
How long ago did Tsar Bloodhoof, the guy, come in?
No, I don't know. A little longer than that. Maybe 15 years ago.
Okay. So that might be related to him hoarding all of the...
Beryl looks up, gives that kind of like, you know, maybe. Do you suppose that that's what Maud got onto?
Possibly.
Well... Us and the Bloodhounds, me, Maud, and Harwick, we never really got along, so I can't say as that I'd be shocked that Maud would be trying to figure out a way to push back a little bit.
Okay, that's even more reason to stop at Map's Edge and go to Athon.
And she kind of looks at you and she's like, look, let's get to Retail Ruins and then we'll talk. Do you have a way of getting to Athon yourself?
Walking.
Okay, well...
I mean, I don't have anything like this, and I gesture to the random...
No, I know.
What?
I'm trying to decide something.
The dad is making a very amused slash thoughtful face, and I don't like it.
Maybe I'll edit this differently or not. I forgot to tell you something in the Gunther recording. All of a sudden, your pocket has a little vibration, and it goes...
What?
Kia, you still there?
Yeah?
I forgot to tell you one important thing.
What is it?
I got a gift for you when you get back.
What?
It's got two wheels, a seat, and a sidecar, and I call it the Moto Wheeler.
That thing we found in the garage, really?
Yep.
For me?
I got it working. Well, me and Theodora got it working. And, anyway, that's all.
Because I forgot to tell you that part in the recording.
Now I've lost my two.
you don't have any two anymore. No more uses of that today.
I look at Beryl and say, apparently I do have a means of transportation.
The only reason I ask is because I think the Athon leads good. I do. But I also think there's a chance she might have sought out Harwick. He's a little further to the north.
Where is Harwick?
Harwick, she chuckles and shakes her head. And she's like, he got out of the game a long time ago. We don't talk too much anymore, but there's a little town up north called Wander Wharf on the coast, on the western coast. Harwick Thistle is now mayor of Wander Wharf.
Your friend is the mayor?
Of a small town, yes.
That's still impressive.
I know. I always thought he should have kept rummaging, but the only other thing I think is that there's a chance maybe Maud went that way too.
So maybe we could go to Athon and then go to Wander Wharf and meet Harwick, work our way north.
We could, or we could split up and we could meet at Wander Wharf.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, and she goes, all right, well, to Retail Ruins it is.
To Retail Ruins it is.
All right, let's go. And it
is Flibbit a part of this conversation at all?
He's there. And he leans down. He goes, you really want to go back to the place where we got bitten and then we had to dream about ice cream?
Well, no, I don't. But it could be productive if we went there. So also, we definitely did not have the same dreams.
No. I the dreams I were having seemed to be like memories.
Same.
Okay, well.
But I've never had ice cream before.
I think we talked about this a little bit. I'm gonna have to get you some ice cream. It's pretty good, but if you eat too much, it is not good.
yeah.
Especially for flumps.
You said before that dairy doesn't go well with flumps.
It does not agree with us. No.
And he reaches a tentacle up and he taps it on his head like that explains everything.
I say, okay.
And we'll say, you know, an hour or two pass and you guys can start seeing Retail Ruins in the distance.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now I will ask you this, and this will determine whether or not we continue into this episode or if we take this into the next episode. As you approach Retail Ruins, it is dark. Beryl tells you that you guys can land somewhere to get some rest for the night. That could be here, and then you could continue on to Map's Edge tomorrow. Or you could try to do a quick retrieval, however Kia decides she wants to do that, using the tools at her advantage, including a hot air balloon aircraft, could try to get the artifact and keep moving.
I think since pretty much everybody on this team, very small team of three, can see in the dark. Actually, I don't know if Lumps can see in the dark. Probably they can.
Yeah, I think they can.
Everybody on this team can see in the dark. I think we're good. She's probably not very tired after witnessing Beryl's lab blow up.
So you want to go now?
Yeah.
So Beryl looks at you and she goes, okay, well, what happened last time? I wasn't there.
So when I went in, I went in through the front doors.
I looked it up. They do have dark vision.
They
just...
Hey.
So I wasn't just making it up.
Woo-hoo. Okay. Yeah, everybody on this team can see in the dark. I think we're fine. So I went through the front doors. They were all, like, blown out. There's just the frames remaining.
Right.
And then I went in, and I went into this little side room, and I saw the lamp. There's a big, bright lamp. It was warm. It was nice. And then when I turned around, there were a bunch of... and then I heard a sound, and I turned around, and there were a bunch of surge scarabs coming in from behind me, from the main room, and came in and grabbed me, and bit me and flib it, and I passed out.
Okay, so but we you know said, where the lamp is.
But you said you found me outside.
I did find you outside, yeah.
I still find that strange.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
They're not, from my experience, the... Surge scarabs aren't the type that would specifically carry people outside, so...
Do you suppose they were trying to get you somewhere specific, or do you suppose... And Flibbit pipes up and he goes, I get the sensation that they are basic creatures with not much brain power.
Yes.
But they seem to be attracted to things.
To the big, surge objects?
Yes, I agree. Perhaps they were protecting it and getting us away from their item.
Like the big Scrayclops.
Perhaps.
But these are animals. Insects, sort of, from what I understand, so...
Flibbit looks at you and he looks at himself because he can. with his eye stalks.
And he goes... let me tell you one thing that I have learned, Kia, from being here. I don't know if you remember, but I came through a portal.
Yeah.
Those creatures are not of this world. Or at least, let me rephrase, they have the same stink on them.
You can smell?
That I do. I
Wait.
Can smell their brains.
Why am I suddenly thinking of, like, intellect devourers right now?
Yeah.
Like...
He's a flump. He's a very psychic creature. There's a stench. There's a thought stench.
Okay, so I say, a little, like, put off by that. I say, okay. So you're saying, well, like, I know they're made of goo, but that's about all I know. So,
they seem...
and they're from the magic storms, but that's all I know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either. I could just tell you that they don't appear to be natural. They appear to be some sort of magical, gooey bug creature.
Okay. Like, so...
perhaps they come from the storms themselves.
Okay. I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense. They're not affected by the storms, it seems like, so...
Nope.
Okay.
And so Beryl leans down and she goes, all right, so... And you guys start hovering over the top of the old IKEA store. You can see the K-E-A.
Kia.
in the nighttime, still blue and yellow, and the eye down on the ground, crumpled up.
The eye.
You know where the doors are. You know they were blown out glass doors, and that lamp was just right inside in a little side room. Beryl goes, well, and she kicks a little hatch on the side, and a little mounted gun comes out that has, like, cannons in it. She's like, we could do this loud. We could do this quiet. We could try to do it quick from up here. We could stealth in. What is it that, how do you want to handle it? You're taking lead because I haven't been here before.
I want to conduct a test.
Okay.
To see if the trap is still there.
Okay.
And it involves bait.
Flip it inherently. He's like, oh, no. I have done. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it. Was I correct in assuming that you were going to use Flip It?
Yes. I say, don't worry. I'm taking measures to make sure you'll be safe.
He is rolling an insight check on you, 100%.
I'm taking measures.
He rolled a natural
one. I'm telling the truth. I'm taking measures to keep him safe.
I think you would need to roll a persuasion check. I was going to say with disadvantage, but since he just rolled a nat 1 on his insight, I'll say it's a neutral roll.
Okay.
To convince Flibbit to go be bait. The DC is low.
Okay.
But.
I have plus 0.
What did you get?
I'm so sad. A 2.
A 2. Flibbit's like, absolutely not. No way. I am not going to be bait. I came along this ride for fun and to figure out how to get back to where I came from. I have no interest in being bait. Thank you.
Okay, fine. I think I quickly go through my inventory and try to find if I have anything that could be used as bait for certain... I think I quickly go through my inventory to see if I have anything that could be used as bait for certain bugs of pass-outness.
Roll me a history check.
History?
Or just an general memory check, like intelligence check.
Oh, just, what is my better one? History versus intelligence?
Yeah, just a regular intelligence. I think you have a better on history.
I do have a better on history. 17.
17. You remember that once upon a time, the original time you saw a Surge Scarab, it was trying to eat your stench clock.
Oh, right.
And it was attracted to that. So you get the idea that they are attracted to past world tech.
I think, sighing, I use the original bait of stench clock.
All right.
Because they seem to be attracted to that specific thing.
Beryl offers you, or actually you have a little perfect tool to lower something down.
I do.
Ship, don't you?
I think I hold the ball of yarn and take a little piece and tie it off to the stench clock in like a little harness. And I slowly unravel it over the ship because it's never ending. It can go hundreds of feet.
Yeah, Beryl maneuvers the ship so that you guys are right in front of the entrance and you lower it down and you lower it down and
I want to lower it right in front of the doors.
Okay, so you lower it down right in front of the doors.
Ready to pull it back up.
Okay. You wait and you wait and nothing happens for a long while.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you hear, you know, you're probably 50 feet up.
Yeah.
You hear the familiar and you look down and you see one of these glowy purple. At nighttime, too, they look really cool.
Oh.
Maybe terrifying, but they have black, like, black beetle, you know, carapace bodies,
mm-hmm.
but with purple, coursing, glowy magic.
Oh.
Kind of in them. And
question.
Yes.
Could they fly?
They could not fly.
They could not fly. Okay.
No.
Okay.
But they could turn into pill bugs and roll really quickly, if I remember correctly.
Okay. So, yeah, how close is it to the clock of stenchiness?
It's probably 10 feet away. You can see it kind of like moving slowly, and it's almost like it's trying to Its head keeps lifting up. It's almost like it's sensing it.
Yeah.
And then another one comes out slowly. They're not rushing it. You get the idea that it's putting off a faint, you know, vibe. You can sense this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So can they, apparently.
Okay.
And then another one, after a minute, comes out. You remember seeing like 9 of them.
Yeah.
I would say in this case, with this kind of thing, you at least get the vibe that they're still there.
Okay. I think I slowly pull it back up.
Okay, you slowly pull it back up. And Beryl's like, well, that was definitive, I guess.
So they're still there.
Yep, and Flibbit's like, I still do really not want to be any sort of bait.
Okay, you're fine.
Okay.
And I think I leave the clock tied up.
Okay.
Because now I have a plan.
All right, I want to hear it.
So I go over to Beryl and say, I have a plan, Beryl.
Wonderful.
It involves you staying out here and holding a ball of yarn with a clock attached to it.
Okay.
And I point at the...
Yep, yep. I gotcha.
And it involves me going down and while the bugs are distracted trying to get the lamp of...
Okay.
Lampness. I don't know what to call it yet.
Sounds good to me. Do you suppose you'll be able to sneak in there?
I think so. Can I survey the roof?
Yeah.
And see if there's like any...
Yeah. Make a perception
rooftop
check.
Rooftop doors.
Yeah, make a perception check.
21.
Yeah, there is a hatch on the roof.
Okay.
You would be able to slip down there.
Any other doors at all, or is it just...
Just the hatch that you see, like a roof access hatch.
Okay. I think I point at the roof access hatch and say, I think I'm going to enter through there.
Okay.
So, because from what I know, there's only a couple of scarabs in there.
All right. Well, I'll stay here. And she pats the gun on the side of the ship and she goes, and if I need to get loud, I'll get loud.
Okay.
And Flibbit goes, now, Kia, do you want me to come with you? Because I can be, if you remember, quite stealthy.
I think my eyes go wide a little bit and I say, no, I think it's better for you to stay here. You can help Beryl keep watch. I don't want you to have any more nightmares about ice cream.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. I will stay here with a Beryl.
Also, did I get a short rest or anything when I went through?
Yeah. You can say you could take a short rest.
Short rests, do I roll for health?
You choose how many hit die you're going to use for that short rest out of your allotted amount.
Oh, okay. Okay. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, Flibbit is going to look at you and he's going to say, how long do you think it will take you in there?
Couple minutes.
Couple minutes, okay. And he's going to rub his tentacles together and he's like, all right, I haven't got a chance to use this one yet, so... Here we go.
And he lays his tentacles on you and a wavy washover power kind of covers you.
Yeah.
And you feel this sort of strange warmth, we'll call it.
Yeah.
And what he has effectively done is the flump version of Shield of Faith. Because again, we operate him like a cleric.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the screens a little bit. Woo-hoo. It's not a Shield of Faith. We'll call it a... We will call it a telekinetic shield. He uses his psychic powers to project a small shield around you. And for 10 minutes, provided he's concentrating, you will have a +2 to your AC.
Woo-hoo! Yay!
And Flippa goes,
makes me much
best
harder to
of
hit.
Luck, Kia. We'll see you on the other side.
Thank you.
And you descend over the side of the balloon,
mm-hmm.
and your feet touch down onto... the roof of the IKEA. And that's where we end it for this week's episode.
Dun, dun, dun. I will be much harder to hit now.
You will for 10 minutes.
For 10
so
minutes.
You better make this quick. I will say that this is not how I expected things to go. So next week, I will be taking us back into the ruins of the IKEA warehouse.
the IKEA warehouse. Wait. You didn't expect me to come back?
Oh, I expected you to come back. I did not expect you to go through the roof.
Uh-huh.
So that'll be entertaining. So we'll figure that out for next time on Dadventurous. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
And, I mean, you kind of just said it already.
What's that?
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time. Leave us a review. Leave us a question. Follow us on social media. We got a big boost in listeners recently, and we're excited about it. We want more. All right. We'll see you all next week.
On Dadventurous.